Pop Culture Failure, where we watch a thing from our youth to see how it stands up. I'm Sky.
I'm Jake.
And we are watching the Animorphs Nickelodeon series. Actually, the other way around, the Nickelodeon Animorphs series. Episode 3.
Yes.
I forget what the name is.
It's The Underground.
Oh. It sounds like we're going to visit the Yerk Pool.
I watched you watch it, you know.
Yeah.
It originally aired September 22nd, 1998.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's information we don't usually give.
You can write that down. Put it in your little journal.
Put a dash after it and say, Jake.
Despite the name, Sky, it is an adaptation of the second part of the book, The Invasion.
The first book?
The book, The Underground, which was covered in the plot of the episode, The Escape. There's an Animorphs wiki.
Sounds like you fell down a hole.
I think it's called Seropedia. I don't know what that's a reference to, but...
Sorrow is the Andalite that gave the Yerks the ability to travel from planet to planet.
Right. I knew that. I forgot. No, I didn't really know. I don't know what I knew.
But it wasn't that.
It wasn't that. Oh, isn't it Ciro's promise or something they talk about?
Ciro's kindness.
Kindness. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the ticket.
He done fucked up.
Whoops.
And then there's the one guy what released the legacy virus, the other one.
That's the X-Men.
Yep. It was a quantum virus that killed a lot of Horcruxes. He committed a genocide, but it didn't work.
But that's a different timeline. This is the nonsensical TV timeline. where people who know how to morph don't.
Yeah. Fucking Marco. Get your shit together.
And Cassie.
I'm less mad at her. She at least contributed something to the episode.
She at least had a rock.
And keys. She had keys.
Yeah, it is true.
Earlier.
I guess we should do the dang thing, though, on account of, since we're telling people about this stuff. Sky, did you know that Marco used to just be a regular kid like everyone else?
Literally everyone else on Earth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tells us that. He tells us this such.
It's a Marco episode, and we follow him as he walks up to Jake's house, and he's doing the standard narration of, I'm a freedom fighter now.
He doesn't tell us he can't tell us his last name.
Yeah, or that Marco is in fact his real name. And he gets to Jake's house, and he knocks on the door, and Tom shows up behind him and spooks him.
But in like a spooky way, like a super like zoom in close up twice shot. I don't know. But everyone's hanging out in Jake's room.
Yeah, they're openly talking about Animorph stuff.
He just has a big portrait of an Indian on the wall.
Yep, not weird at all. And the dog's there, so the dog makes it into another episode.
The dog has been in just as many episodes as Rachel.
Or the rest of them, really.
I know.
But they were waiting for Marco so that they could try and run the Andalite disk in the regular human computer.
Because Marco's the only one who knows how to use a mouse, apparently. It's not like they... Like, it's a...
He contributes nothing. He's
like
just the
DOS
guy in the chair.
And it says ready, and he just types, okay.
And then Tobias tells him to try, like, tab alt control X or something.
It's a system failure on that old-timey computer. Did he ruin Jake's computer?
I'm pretty sure. And then they make an Independence Day reference.
But he says they had Will Smith. Will Smith didn't do anything with computers.
He wasn't,
in that movie.
No, he was the pilot. But he's the better known name, I guess, at this time anyway.
Jeff Goldblum! He's a thing.
True. But the Will Smith was the French prince.
Randy Quaid. Or is that Dennis Quaid?
It's one of the Quaids. But Tom just pops in and says, what are you doing? And they're like, talking.
Having a yuck up.
Doing teenager stuff.
And that's it. And
he had no follow-up. He had no questions. He didn't need them for anything. He just poked his head in.
I guess he was just walking around making sure people don't morph because he's a bad guy. You're not morphing in here, are you? No, you guys are cool? Okay.
Thought I heard you the word morph and andalite. Yeah. And...
You guys keep saying yerk in here. What do you know?
But they don't know that he might be a controller.
And
but
he
then Marco.
Know that they might be andalites.
That's right. But Marco pops over to the door and watches him enter the bathroom. And while he does it, he's scratching his ear.
Yeah, which is highly suspicious.
Yeah,
I
it's
guess.
Not just a thing that happens sometimes. It's
my
definitely.
My ear is itchy right now.
Well, there's an. There's...
Where are my keys?
Are my keys in there?
No, I meant I was going to itch it with my key.
Oh.
Jeez, this guy. I don't actually itch my inside of my ear with my key.
You say that.
I have a coke nail for that.
Gross.
It's for doing coke and scratching ears.
I understood what it was.
So now they go outside to the relative safety of outside to talk loudly about about meetings and secret alien stuff.
They bring the dog because he's integral to the team. And Tobias, Rachel, and Cassie go off while Marco and Jake stay behind.
I wonder what it's like to have a dog that wouldn't get wildly excited about being outside and just run because he wants to sniff everything.
They gave that dog a Benadryl, I'm sure. It's a golden retriever.
Dogs love sniffing.
They do. Tom comes out and he's like, hey, I quit the basketball team for no conspicuous reasons at all. You should come with me to the sharing on a completely unrelated note.
I think he, at one point at least, is like, there's girls at the sharing, so, you know, he can...
Well, he is like, hip to what the youths... he is hip to what the youths are into as a yerk.
I apologize, I hadn't brought up getting fingered.
It has been like a whole season since you did.
I'm sure I said it during the Inhumans, because people were always getting real dirty and banging.
And Karnak did have coitus with that one lady.
Yeah. But he was so dirty.
Yeah, well, they also went from the ocean to banging.
There's no banging or oceans in this, I think.
Salty, that's probably not comfortable for anyone.
Yeah, but Tom's anywho. Like, join the sharing, and they're like, no, and he's like, fucking tools, and he leaves.
It's true. And then Marco makes the connection that maybe this guy...
Maybe this itchy-eared guy...
Maybe there's an alien in his brain.
I do like Marco's jacket. I don't know if I've seen
it. It is very orange.
It's a very good orange jacket. Oversized late 90s orange jacket.
I have an orange jacket, but it's a lot more muted than the safety orange that Marco's rocking.
This guy, everything about you is more muted than everything else.
Especially my voice. Jake is very offended that Marco would even suggest just a thing.
Jake is dressed exactly like people dress now. It's not really. Just a plaid button-up shirt.
Indeed.
I have that shirt. And great news, this time, we go to a different place.
To Marco's apartment.
Yeah. And Marco's dad is actually watching TV this time instead of just staring.
He's watching some terrible old movie. And Marco just like, hey, you have a job interview, didn't you? And Marco's dad is just like, yeah, I didn't go to it, though, because I'm not doing it. He had other things to do, apparently, which included going to his wife's grave and leaving fresh flowers, which is the thing you could have done before or after or tomorrow.
This guy, there's no body in that grave. We know that. You and
well, she
I
was
know
lost
that.
At sea.
Jeremy doesn't know that. Oh, is that what happened?
It's so what happened in the book. No... Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
It's purely symbolic.
Yeah. All right. That's fair.
So they filled a casket full of bricks.
I guess if she's still alive, there was never a point where there was a body.
Not even a lookalike.
Wait, is that a thing people do?
Well, if you're going to fake your death, you want...
We need a lookalike body.
Well, if they went a different route. Like, oh, she fell off a building. But we get a really long shot of a photograph of the family. And then when that's finally over, we cut over to Tobias and Rachel, who are hanging out.
Do you think this goes on long enough to there be a payoff for Marco's family thing?
I don't recall. I hope not.
We'll see.
And Tobias has the weirdest look. Like, there's something...
off about him.
He doesn't look like a real person. He looks like a composite.
Yeah. He has a very off-putting face.
You know how somebody looks when you do a face swap? That's how his face
looks.
That's
exactly what it is. Yeah, it's not... like, it looks like his face doesn't belong in his head.
Yeah.
So
that's just how he looks, and it's weird.
I think they were just like, get someone who's an okay hawk voice actor, because he's going to spend most of the show as a hawk voice.
Well, you think that, but he's going to be morphed to human a lot.
Really?
Spoiler. Yeah. But Rachel's, apparently they did make it all the way to Rachel's house, and her sister pops out with a very old film camera and takes a photo of them together, and yells, I made a picture of your boyfriend. And little does she know, that'll be the last photograph of him as a human.
Except for apparently when he's in human morph, like, you just ruined.
Yeah, he'll be
you
doing...
You can't ruin
he'll
something
do that
and
lot.
Then try and set up suspense about
it. I could have cut it!
Oh, well, now I've yelled about it.
So, we cut back to the school. Apparently it's school time now. A day passed? Question mark? And
the
Marco's walking...
The school are so claustrophobic looking. Like, they're so tight.
Marco is walking down the hall, and he sees Vice Principal Chapman and does a complete 180 and tries to run away from him, kind of.
Which
and
is
Chapman
very
yells
suspicious.
At him. Yeah, and Chapman's like, hey, I want to talk to you, and he schools him about his grades dropping. And then he sees a lizard and stomps on it and calls it a disgusting creature and has no further questions about the lizard in his school.
Yeah, I work in a school.
Ain't no lizards.
I clean their floors. If there was a lizard, we'd have to do something about it.
Well, he's not the janitor. He's the principal.
One time, one of the hamsters got out. We think a kid just, like, took it out of its cage and put it on the ground. And we spent quite some time hunting the hamster.
Well, that's apparently what Jake did with this fucking lizard. Because he's Marco goes into a bio room. No other students in there. Jake has, like, 15 books out. And he's like, yeah, I lost a lizard. And I didn't bother chasing it or anything.
Was Jake holding the lizard when he got in there? Or did Marco take it out of its...
Marco took one out. He also left that lizard to get stomped to death in the hallway.
Yeah.
And they hear some talking, and they go to listen in, and Chapman's just openly talking to this teenager about locating the Andalites and how they need to do regeneration. And it seems as though they just started the invasion, because this should all be established stuff, right?
I don't know. They're always trying to invade more.
Okay. But, like, he's talking about it as though this is the first time in the world. But, whatever, it's fine. Jake and Marco both morph lizard.
Look at those little lizards run.
Luckily, Chapman has those very identifiable shoes, so the lizards go and chase him down, and he's going into a janitor's closet.
I can't believe that the lizard vision is different than the cat vision.
It's got a green filter. And the boys are like, hey, I can't see colors. But we make it to the janitor's closet, and wouldn't you know it, it's fucking Tom.
What was he doing? He just had his face, like, to the wall, and he whipped around.
He was planning a dramatic reveal, obviously.
Oh. Well, it worked.
It sure did. There's an entrance...
I never turned any of the things in my janitor's closet like that.
You never know what'll lead to the Yerk Bowl, but you may not like what you find, Jake.
I don't think so.
Well, you just said you haven't tried it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was answering a different question, apparently.
Turns out Tom's a controller!
What?
Who would have thought?
Marco!
Besides, and anybody who read the books. Because that we find that out in book one.
It's the first thing Jake says in that book. My brother Tom?
Kinda.
He's a controller.
So the lizards climb up onto a shelf that is about eye level with everybody. You know, for stealth.
And they're just looking at...
They're just in the sun, or in the lamplight. And Tom opens the door to the thing. Apparently you have to squeak the faucet to the one side and twist a thing that holds soap, and it'll just open it up. But wouldn't you know it, Chapman notices the lizards. And again, no questions about there being lizards. He just calls it a disgusting creature, and then the tail breaks off and they scurry out of there. Tom also, no follow-ups.
Do their tails break off that easily?
Depends on what lizard it is.
It's a skink.
Is that a real lizard?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know anything about skinks.
I thought you knew all things about lizards.
I know about green anoles, which is what they were supposed to have morphed.
It's just a gnoll, this guy.
I pronounce it anole. You're probably correct, but that's how I've always pronounced it. Because I'd never heard it spoken aloud, but read it.
Well, here we are. But, not sure what to tell you.
Yeah. So the lizards climb into some lockers, and then they demorph, and they're able to get out of the lockers that were... probably locked that weren't theirs. I wouldn't have thought.
No, you can open a locker from the inside.
Can you?
I think so.
Maybe those, because those are the kinds with the built-in lock.
Yeah, those you. I think you would be able to.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because there's a little lever that's how you you like dummy lock it so it'll stay open so you don't have to put your combination in any time.
Is that how it worked? Yeah, okay. It's like a little... I knew there was a way. I just never actually cared enough to look into it because I didn't have that kind of locker, but. We cut to that night, I guess, and the kids are breaking into Cassie's house.
Yeah, is it? So this is the sanctuary she lives on?
I guess so. I guess that explains why she had keys.
Yeah.
But they're going to go traipse about and pick up some good morphs.
Like those llamas, those cute, cute llamas.
Yeah. Get a giraffe morph. They can kick real good.
Yeah. They can see stuff.
Very high up. So
they can't run very fast, though.
Well, they can, though. The one on Man vs. Beast just chose not to.
Yeah, I'm glad you were thinking it, too.
I can't bring up giraffes without thinking about it.
I can't bring up most animals without thinking about that.
Marco and Jake argue a little bit until Cassie opens the door, and then they go inside. And then Cassie just brings them to a tiger and just lets Jake in with very little information. Just like, make this sound. It'll calm it down.
It's called a foofer sound or something.
A foofer.
Foofer.
And just puts him in a fucking tiger cage. I mean, if you had access to this, Cassie, you probably could have gotten a tranquilizer of some sort.
Sky, we forgot the most important part.
Which is?
When Rachel walks up, she asks what it is.
That's true.
What is it?
It's a fucking white tiger. It's the most distinctive animal there is.
Tigers are orange, I'm pretty sure, Cassie. What is it?
This would be some sort of leopard, a snow leopard. Yeah. You're a liar, Cassie. What you don't that? Know anything about animals.
Is that some sort of bear you drew lines on?
Jake just flame-grilled bear. Makes the V sound and goes and touches the tiger, and it's a real tiger. I'm not sure how they shot this, because it looks like Sean Ashmore is actually in there with a tiger.
Kinda.
It's not a very big tiger. It's about the size of a large dog.
I mean, they have trained, you know,
yeah,
movie animals.
Yeah, I know, but, like, it seems like a thing that insurance wouldn't allow.
Well, I think when you have a show where animals are a big part of it, that's just that their special animal killed your star insurance.
Probably. And Rachel gets a lion. We don't get to see her make the stupid V sound. So, and then Cassie leaves that fucking lion cage open for so long, but the lion's very patient. It doesn't try to kill them. It's very polite of it. In the books, Rachel never gets a lion morph. That's a David morph.
You think this show goes on long enough to get weird with David?
Oh, God, I wish. I hate David so much with a visceral hate that's still alive to this day, and it doesn't make sense because you shouldn't hate
because this is pretend?
Yeah, you shouldn't hate somebody that doesn't exist and never existed as much as I hate David.
Oh, that's how much I hate you.
I don't think that's possible.
I don't know.
So, we don't see what Cassie or Marco chose. Nothing, assumedly, and everybody just disperses without another word.
I'm going to go ahead and guess some things. Perhaps a bat, or a wombat, or
a wallaby.
Kangaroo. Things from the Australia House.
Well, anything in Australia can and will kill you.
Yeah,
Australia is not even a land, it's just a mound of writhing spiders.
What's that scary monster bird?
A cassowary?
Oh, they should all just be cassowaries.
They're impossible to kill, apparently.
Yeah, I tried to find videos of them killing people, but there weren't any because they killed all the people.
There's also golden orb spiders and blue ringed octopi and Portuguese men of war.
Really like Australia, but I know nothing of their animals because they're all scary.
They're not scary. They're terrifying.
They got those magpies that'll just swoop at your face in certain parts of the year.
Well, they like shiny things. They got falcons that will start fires.
Ugh. And cassowaries who will punch into your gut and pull your guts out.
Kangaroos will also do that.
Ugh. I really want to go there.
And fist-sized spiders that have venom that will literally dissolve your flesh. Anywho, the kids
have to go.
The kids follow like 50 people into the York pool. There are 50 people from the sharing who may or may not be volunteers or already controlled, but nobody questioned these five randos following them into the York pool.
I think they're new hosts from the sharing. I think.
That may have been what Chapman said, but like...
But still, they should recognize that these people weren't, you know, at any sharing meetings or...
Yeah, and also, these volunteers should have had a problem going into a hole in the ground where there was screaming coming from.
Yeah, what lie did they have to tell them? Well, we got a haunted house under the school. Ignore the yelling, because it's a haunted house. And then at this point, I don't know, well... No, I guess these wouldn't be the people from the sharing because the Yerks are coming out of their heads, right?
I genuinely don't know.
Maybe they already got the new people through and these guys joined up with the old ones. But then you'd think the Yerks...
The controller should have recognized their own because you can't just show up with a new body and be like, hey, I'm wearing this new body. What happened to your old host? Would be the follow-up question to
that. I would assume Yerks are real racist and can't tell humans apart. That's why Chapman has to wear fancy shoes so the other... controllers know that he's a high-up controller, because
he couldn't get any epaulets.
Yeah, to the Yerks, he just looks... Well, Sky, if you get something fancy, people know. They're like, why are you wearing that on your breast? And he just gets those fancy shoes, so people go, that guy's someone important, even though he looks like everyone else.
I mean, that's possible. But, like, the Yerk pool is supposed to be, like, a city-sized dome underneath... The city itself.
This is like 12 and this by 12.
It looks. If you saw the original, the Time Machine movie, it looks like that Morlock tunnel.
I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like if there was a real elaborate movie scene with a big city sized Yerk pool, but then they made a playset of it and everything had to be condensed. That's what it looks like.
And V3 is there. He's. We only see him from the chin up. And he's just there yelling in thought speak.
I think you might see his collarbones.
He eventually dips out for his chambers because apparently he has a bedroom in the Yerk pool. and there is a single Hork-Bajir there.
Yeah, we only see one of those at a time.
And the non-volunteer hosts are held in laser cages, you know, like you'll have. It is like a Star Wars.
Star Wars doesn't have laser cages, guy.
Ray shields, whatever. And there's a line that Cassie accidentally falls in, but the other kids aren't shoved into.
Yeah.
And they watch Tom have a... We never see the Yerk either. We just see plops into the water.
Right. You don't see anything drop into it, so I want to know what they're dropping in there to make those plops.
I don't know.
So we don't see anything.
Yeah, but I don't know. They're getting the Yerks pulled out of their heads, and then they're going and waiting till they're regenerated properly. And there's a guy who comes over and tells them to get in line. And Tobias is like, we're supposed to see Vessor 3. And the guy buys it, even though this would be insanely easy to check up on. I feel like there should be a guy with a clipboard somewhere.
We know how the Yerks are. They'll just fucking kill each other if you're ahead of me and I don't believe you and then I question you, you would just kill me.
Well, we know Vessor 3 is like that. We don't know that the rest of the Yerks are like
that. We don't
know
anything about the Yerks yet.
Because that's fair.
It hasn't told us anything. We know now that they gotta
go they found out
dry ice puddle.
They found out this episode that the Yerks need to feed every 3 days. Apparently Elfangor couldn't be bothered.
And that they make your ear real itchy.
Yeah, the dog wants to be on the podcast again.
He loves podcasting, dog.
So,
he
probably just has to go to like, the bathroom. Cassie gets pushed up onto the thing, and she obviously doesn't have a Yerk to drop out of her ear. So she's just like, oh, it's hard for me to get out of my the host's ear.
She has a very long ear canal.
So she picks up a rock and drops it in, and then she screams, don't put it back in my head! You know, to sell it.
Right.
Meanwhile, the plan that the others hatch to help her get out of that situation is, we'll distract them, and then no other words are said, and they all just run in different directions.
I mean,
and morph animals.
When you're an animorph, that's the only plan, is to morph.
I guess. So, Rachel goes lion, Tobias goes hawk, you know, because that's his thing. And Marco just runs away and, like, flips some switches that he knew would turn off the laser nets.
I think if we had an Animorphs and someone was like, I'm always going to be a hawk, I think you would be like, hey, maybe...
Maybe don't. Maybe be something useful.
Yeah, maybe we're going to have to kill you because you seem like a liability.
And V3 is there, but we don't see him move from his spot in his quarters or wherever he's yelling from.
The shadows.
Yeah. Jake goes tiger and spooks some people away from... something.
He chases a single stuntman.
It's impossible to tell where anybody is in relation to someone else. And
they're in the Yerk pool.
Yeah, and eventually one of the guys flips a switch and locks the door and traps all of the kids or the people trying to escape. And now it's just random people that we've never seen before, and it's impossible to tell who's controlled and who's not. Which I guess is the whole crux of the show.
I think the struggling ones are the hosts.
Yeah, but they were all just running all at
one
time.
I mean, no, the struggling ones are the free ones. See, I don't even know.
So, Jake completely demorphs from Tiger for whatever reason, and then decides to run as a human up to the gate, but he gets trapped too, so he turns into a lizard and escapes.
I don't know why he wouldn't just be a tiger and murder his way out.
Well, I realize a tiger can't murder its way through through a metal gate.
Sure it can. It's a tiger.
That's how we keep tigers in places.
Oh, yeah. But it's a tiger. Those are tigers without people brains.
Oh, that's fair. Your dog sees the reflections.
Yeah, that's what he does.
So the kids make it out, and they all regroup except for Tobias, who we won't hear from for the rest of the episode. And instead of running away from the school, they just stand in front of it and pant and tell each other that, hey, we're fine. Marco has his inner monologue.
So loud. I'm so sorry.
The dog is... He's chasing a reflection off of his collar, and he's stomping around.
So it's constantly moving.
He's a bit of a goon.
Sometimes
it's adorable, but he's a goon.
Sometimes he does this for, like, an hour.
So the kids, they see a random hawk on a street sign. They're like, hey, Tobias, why don't you demorph and not be a hawk forever? But the hawk doesn't respond, because it's just a regular hawk?
I guess if this was your life, you'd just talk to rando animals just to be sure. Be like, hey, animal, are you a friend of mine?
True. But, I mean, that's way too coincidental for that to not be Tobias.
I don't know, maybe they live in hawk country.
But the bird doesn't... They've only been morphed for, like, 15 minutes tops.
Yeah, it did. So nothing substantial happened down there.
They found out where it was and then bailed on the plan. They had no plan, really.
It was just go down there, I guess.
I guess that counts as recon.
Also, we forgot to mention something very important earlier, Sky. That Rachel mentions that she saw a hawk flying around her house and immediately accused Tobias. And then Tobias was like, how did you know it was me? And it's real awkward.
Well, it's because he was probably watching her undress from, you know, a mile
with his
away.
Hawk vision. What a creep.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
Ladies, it's not okay to let boys watch you undress if they're a hawk. Is that a thing I can say, Sky?
Sure.
That's my PSA for the week.
So the episode ends with them, like, walking down the street backwards, yelling Tobias.
Yep. It sure does.
I guess it's a cliffhanger. I'm going to say no reason at all for him to be stuck in a hawk morph.
I feel like instead of a cliffhanger, it's more like you're going to jump over you're going to jump across the cliff and you run up to the edge and then you get nervous and you tiptoe and you just look down a little.
That could be.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, we're three episodes into the Animorphs.
Woo! And, not great so far.
Well, no, but I think that's the point of this whole journey we've taken ourselves on, this spiritual journey called pop culture's failure.
That is true. So, Jake.
What?
What was the most turtle-rific part?
Well, I'll tell you. It's probably those, big cats.
Yeah, those were very good animal actors.
Yeah, they acted the fuck out of it, those cats did.
Like, hey, Lion, why don't you run at these people? And it did it.
It did it well.
Sure did.
Earned its owner a paycheck.
I think the most turtle-rific part was when Rachel wandered in and didn't recognize what a tiger was.
Ah, fuck, that was...
What is it?
What is that?
It's a fucking tiger, Rachel. There's probably a sign leading up there.
I don't know if it's a zoo. It might be if it's a sanctuary, they might not have a sign. But also, you're expected to not be a fucking dum-dum. Are there places where people don't know what tigers are?
I wouldn't think so.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
All right, you guys tweet at Sky if you don't know what a tiger is. He'll draw you a picture of it.
It's like an orange kitty cat with stripes.
Yeah, it's like if someone took a
Garfield
cat
and made it bigger.
Put it on a grill and gave it stripes. Or an orange cat, depending on what kind of tiger, I suppose.
A Garfield, but bigger.
Yeah, like a Garfield, but bigger.
Only this one was white for some reason. They spent the money on a white tiger.
Now, you say they spent the money. Do you think they spent, like, the big bucks to get a white one? Or that was just the cheapest one? Like, they took bids, and it $11 a day to rent this white tiger. It's only mauled three people. We'll risk it.
That is hard to say. But they did it.
They sure did.
Who was the most likable character?
The little lizards. not that when the guys are morphed as lizards. The lizards that are lost in the hallway.
The rogue lizards.
Yeah, the rogue lizards. Why, what would you say? Probably Sarah.
No, she's being a little jerk, little girl. Fucking talk.
All day, every day. You guys are talking about him now.
Well, I made eye contact as I said it. Who was the most likable character? I don't know. Nobody really did anything in this episode.
No.
I guess Cassie did the best work in, like, bringing the keys and getting them morphs.
Yeah, except for the part where she didn't morph.
Well, I mean, there was never a point where she was alone enough to morph. So. I don't know if you noticed, but Bobby posted some pictures of some Animorph action figures he found.
No, but... when was this?
Earlier today.
Oh, I haven't been on today. Some of us had to go to work, Scott.
There's a Marco, and there's a... Maybe a... I think that's a Jake morphing into a bear, which is wrong. That's fine.
Yeah, they were Transformers, essentially.
They were literally say Transformers on there.
Oh, they're... Alright.
I guess they were a Hasbro product.
I wanted, like, action figures that, like, had a good Rachel action figure with a good bear action figure, like, in one package. So you get, like, a highly detailed Marco with his orange coat, and then you get a gorilla, so you can play. I can pretend that one turned into the other.
And then, one of our listeners, Dowd, he posted a thing saying that he knew that the ear didn't connect directly to the brain, but had never put it together when reading the books. So we came up with a headcanon as to how it works, because the Yurks claim, or in the books, say that they can liquefy and stuff. So maybe they can go into through, because the ear connects to the nose, and the nose connects to the brain through a mucous membrane sort of thing.
I don't really know nothing about the head. So I'm
that's where your beard grows.
Oh, that's the head. I'm going to trust you on it. Heads good are enough for hats. That's...
Jacob.
What?
What's your pop culture palate cleanser? Listen how smooth that came out.
Yeah, pop culture palate cleanser. You did it.
You over-articulate?
I
nope, emceed
that.
It's not it either.
I emceed that show yesterday, so I had to say
enunciate.
Everything like
you
that
over-enunciated it.
I discovered yesterday that I can read much better when there aren't teenagers sitting directly behind me screaming. They left, and I was like, I had to read something out loud, and I was like, that went really well. What happened?
Could
like,
hear oh, yourself.
No one's screaming behind me. I get it. See, here's the thing. I was like, what happens if these start all being the same? And then I actually thought about it, and I did more new things, so I was excited. I was like, you know, just watching Star Wars. Because that's all I'm going to say every week. But I did do that, but only once. But there's the new show Champions. I don't know if you know this. It's Mindy Kaling's new show.
It's not about Iceman?
No, it's about...
And...
No, not The Champion.
Oh, okay.
It's just Champions. It's got Anders from Workaholics and Mindy Kaling. And they had a baby in the before times, and now he finds out that he has a baby.
Is it a spinoff of the Mindy Project?
No, that's over. She made a new show.
Because wasn't he in that also?
Yes.
Okay. Didn't they date?
I don't know. I think so.
Have a baby in that?
I don't know.
Okay. I didn't watch it much. I just knew that he was in it.
But anyway, this is the new show, and that's the thing that I watched, and it's pretty good. I like it. There's only two episodes so far, so maybe it'll really take a turn. But check it out. Now it's your turn, Sky. Do the pop culture palate cleanser.
I haven't really done anything.
You lazy piece of shit.
Well, I've been working on a project for a friend, Matt Hoadley, who's going to be a guest on the show later. He is going to some sort of tabletop gaming convention, and he's going to pitch a couple of games. So I've been doing some artwork for that.
Well, that cleansed your palate.
Yeah. Oh, I watched Jessica Jones.
Is it good? I'm sorry, is it as good as the first season?
I don't think so.
What'd you say? I screamed over the top of it.
I don't think it is. I mean, it's good.
I mean, no one.
It didn't leave me feeling as gross as the first season did.
Yeah, but that's what art does, is it makes you feel, Sky. It's a constant reminder of that.
And I also watched the third season of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
So you said, I haven't done much, and you watched two full seasons of shows?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Look, 7 days, a lot can happen in 7 days.
I know. I probably did a lot of things I forgot, too.
And to be fair, I was drawing while doing that, so...
Oh, okay.
A lot of it slipped through my brain.
The dog wants to breathe into the microphone now.
I see that. He's trying real hard.
He doesn't know how to aim. It's right here. He's like, the words are coming out of there. That's the microphone.
So that'll do it for this week.
Hopefully. What?
You can join us next week while we watch episode 4. I did not look at the title.
I think it's called On the Run.
It's got a real creepy picture of Chapman for the thumbnail. And also, the image for The Underground, the episode we just watched, has a picture of Cassie. She never wore her hair like that.
She sure didn't.
And so, I'm not sure where they're getting their thumbnails.
And the last
Amazon
episode has a picture of Tom from this episode.
Yeah.
So maybe they're all just one off.
Could be. Whatever. It's weird.
Whatever. Aminorphs.
We've got a bunch of guests lined up. So if you're interested...
No one could be bothered to fuck with the Inhumans, but they'll fuck with the Aminorphs.
Well, I didn't actually ask anybody to be on Inhumans.
Because you didn't hate anyone except for me that much.
That's right. But if you're interested in being... but if you're interested in being a guest, there still are some episodes that are open. So, you know, hit us up on Twitter or email us or whatever. Speaking of which, you can do that. You can do that at Failed Pop Culture with no E at the end on the Twitter. You can email us at popculturefailure@gmail.com. You can Twitter at me. I'm at Sandwich Surplus.
I'm at Midwest Love Affair. Sometimes I live tweet show choir competitions. And only Sky responds.
That's right. And you can follow Otis the dog on Instagram if you want.
Oh, it's otis.dog.otis.
He's a smelly goober.
I haven't put a picture of him up in a while. I keep taking pictures of him. I should probably put him on there. I got a dog, and then all my phone is pictures of dogs and, and action figures I want to buy eventually.
So really, not that much has changed.
No, there's just...
Just more dogs.
It's my dog instead of just random dog. Well, I think we've done it, Sky.
I also think that, because we have.
Yay!
All right. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next week.
Bye! He's also farting in there. I can smell it.
It's just wafting into this room.
It sure is. He's all worked up. I know that feeling. You all worked up and started to.
That is offensive.